In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. St. Paul exclaims. He says, rejoice, not once, but twice. And why? Because he means it. That's why. He's not asking. He's telling. So you want to be a pastor. You want to be a deaconess. You want to be a future church worker. Good. Then be ready to rejoice. To have joy in the ministry. And so when I sit at the table here on campus, when I have a friend who comes to me asking me about the ministry, and they're interested, I often wonder, how much should I really tell them, lest they would find a circumstance in which they might not rejoice? Should I tell them of my experience on field work as a volunteer hospice chaplain, spending my days with the dying? Should I tell them of my experience as a volunteer hospital chaplain while on my first call with the woman who is about to have her legs amputated and probably wouldn't make it? Or having to tell the man whose wife died in the car accident that he caused? Or being in that cold tomb of a room in the hospital where they bring the deceased patient so that the family can say their final goodbye? Or the man stricken so badly by strokes, he was made mute and he could only use one arm? Should I tell the fourth-year guys that the fancy stole that they've picked out for their ordination, that really is a yoke of slavery? And when you feel abandoned for merely trying to be faithful, the nice white cincture around your waist, that is the rope that held Jesus as he was scourged by the very people who he came to save. And that could just be a bad voters meeting. And your circuit meetings might not be so much better. That time that you are to come together as the body of Christ. And too many times it's more like a bad remake of the Hunger Games, with alliances fighting to the death. And I haven't forgotten you future deaconesses. The first day on the job for our deaconess field worker, she had to rush to the aid of a naked elderly woman who was in our retirement center, who had completely mangled her arm after she fell in the shower. I sure felt like telling her, "Hey, rejoice in the Lord, always." Rejoice, St. Paul says. Has he heard and seen the demented things that are confessed? The depravity and the sickness and the dying and the faithlessness that's out there? Is he serious? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Because not rejoicing means one thing. It's not believing. Unbelief. The sin not to be forgiven, because it will lead you into the pit of despair, which I have seen too many times in the ministry. The day after my ordination, the church secretaries were all talking about that halo that was over my head. I assured them it would wear off soon. Yes, believe it or not, you will still be sinners. Many of your wounds will be self-inflicted, falling into various temptations, denying Christ more than three times. Or you may simply feel unappreciated, not treated as well as you would like. But I can tell you that as I was sit with a retired pastor who grieved over his loss of not being able to shepherd his flock, it was like being hammered right between the eyes with two stone tablets. How dare I not understand the privilege and the honor to serve in the stead of Christ? The thorns and the chains and the nails and all. To be a sheepdog to the good shepherd, even when those sheep are nipping at your heels, not keeping your eyes on the good shepherd and your tail always wagging with joy. And in your unbelief, you might not recognize your thorn that is there to deflate your ego. Or maybe, just maybe, you suffer because you are in Christ, which means you will die to yourself. You will sacrifice for others. You will love and forgive the very people who might drive the nails. Ah, but therein lies the rub. Pastors who write their sermons first to themselves, who can crush themselves in the knowledge of their own sins and iniquities and failings, and all of those sinners in the pews. But there's that rare occasion when you actually start to write about the sweetness of the gospel. And it suddenly dawns on you that this is for you too, idiot. Perhaps it's actually true that you are one of Christ's little ones, one of his lambs that he loves and he cares for, and he washed you in his blood, that he suffered and died for you, that you too are forgiven for your colossal mess-ups and your sinful need for success or accolades or making a name for yourself, that this grace in bread and wine is for you too. This love is yours, and you are his. And you've been called for his set purpose. And that the Lord is at hand, and he will be with you always. And so mark these words. Beware to find spiritual care for yourselves, because you can only give that which you have received. I don't know if you've heard of Doxology, the Spiritual Care Center, but the first time that I went, something so simple as kneeling down and feeling a hand placed on my head to bless me, I wept for joy. It had been so long. And that's what Christ wishes to give you. Joy. Joy in his forgiveness. Joy in his cleansing. He wishes to replace your unbelief with faith in him, that you might rejoice. That's why Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Then, baptized believers, you will be guarded from unbelief, which steals your joy. Because when you believe, you tell that man in the car accident that killed his wife, of God's immeasurable grace. You ask that family standing in that tomb-like hospital room, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. He's not here. You tell the good news to that stroke victim who with his one usable arm grabs your hand and he kisses it as the tears are rolling down his face. As you tell him about singing with choirs of angels at the throne. Or of that woman with no legs who shortly after will walk into heaven and bow at the throne. I've seen with my own eyes a church come from nothing that impacted an entire community. I've seen a church and a community that was all but dead in the tomb being resurrected. And you too will see the mute speak. You too will hear that the deaf might hear. You too will see the dead be raised. Of this you can be sure, future pastors. When you baptize that infant into the kingdom, when you hear the confession of faith of the newly confirmed, give the life-giving Lord's Supper that makes whole. Give the absolution that sets free and heals. Be the last thing that the family sees as they drive away from the cemetery, as you stand beside the newly sainted. For all of your suffering, you will say, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. And you too, future deaconesses, as my wife, who is a deaconess, can attest, to hold the hand of the newly widowed, defend the poor and the weak with your life, pick up the pieces of a shattered life after a natural disaster, to care for the body as if it were Christ's own. I pray that you too will see that laying down your very life is nothing short of joyous. The ministry is not just a burden, not just a yoke, not just a duty. It's a gift from God for our joy. Christ shares his joy with us that it might be full. Suffering, dying, rising again. We share in the joy of Christ that comes from his Father through his Holy Spirit. God wants you to be led further and further, not into despair, but as the good Pastor John Kleinig would say, led into joy upon joy upon joy until the joy of heaven. I've never had a greater honor than to give the final benediction to a church worker who gave their lives to bless others, to speak instead of Christ, the well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of heaven, the joy of the Lord. But that joy of the ministry begins right now with your studies, and God willing, in your ministry for years to come. Remember, the difference between joy and despair then is that your joy is not of yourself. It is not of this world. It is rejoicing in the Lord always, even in suffering. When you know what the Lord has done for you, has conquered for you, to bring you forgiveness, to bring you eternal life. I ask you, what else is there? What else is there but to rejoice? And so I commend you to go from joy to joy in your work rejoicing. And so I say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. The God of peace be with you all.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.